Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. It truly is amazing to see the shift in what Americans fear most of all. At one time, death would be the number one reply. But unless someone has found the elixir of life, then public speaking may very well be as terrifying as most people believe it to be. Or maybe there's a collective unconscious awareness that death really is more synonymous with what we think of napping as. Lying down to rest and recharge, fully expecting to wake up and continue on as we did before we went to rest. We'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? This is your girl, Ella, back in the enchanted forest, making things happen. Y'all, it has been quite a month. I feel the need to apologize for not producing any episodes during the month of October. And then my mind harkens back to my last episode before I went silent. And I'm reminded I don't have to apologize or say I'm sorry for taking time to take care of me. So, thank you, those of you who checked weekly to see if I had come up with some new information, some new episodes. I appreciate it. And to those of you who kept checking and didn't see and decided, screw it, I'm done with it, I hope you check back just one more time this week and see that I am back in my enchanted forest doing my enchanted thing. I won't even go into what kept me from my forest. Just know, I missed it. I missed y'all. I missed doing it. But I'm back. And dare I say, I'm better? Sure, why not? I'm feeling a little cheeky today. So much is going on in the world, in my life, in my community, in my state, right? Everywhere. Like, everyone seems to be imploding. Every country seems to be imploding. And it's so weird because it's like the same kind of leadership is cropping up all over the world. It's like someone took a clone of a specific leadership style and philosophy and agenda and strategically placed it and persons who could carry it out in key positions. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I have no theories at all, but it feels like that to me when I'm listening to NPR and I'm hearing the exact same stories, the exact same plot, only in different countries with different characters, you know, different languages. But basically, same theme, same motive. It's just a little eerie to me. And let me be clear, my personality type tries to find meaning in everything. So I could just be kind of rolling down the rabbit hole, which I do quite a bit. My mom should have named me Alice. But that's neither here nor there. I was bird walking. I'm going to come back. I'm excited today about this topic because I've been thinking about it for a while. But I was like, ugh, I can't really talk about this because. And then I couldn't answer the rest, right? I couldn't finish the because. So I said, well, I don't have a reason why I can't talk about it. So, boom. I guess I'll talk about it. Reincarnation. Dun dun dun. Don't turn me off yet. How to live an enchanting and creative life this time around. That's kind of my whole purpose, really, is I'm trying to figure out how to live my most enchanting creative life right now. Like, I'm not a patient person, so I'm not trying to wait until, I don't know, I die and go to heaven or Nirvana or someplace where I get 40 virgins. I don't know if Islamic women get 40 virgins when they die. I don't know. But all I'm saying is I'm not trying to wait until I'm dead. Like, I want my enchanted creative life now. I want to experience everything in this life right now. And so I started looking, I've been looking at crazy philosophies all from everywhere. Like, when I say crazy, I mean a crazy amount of philosophies from everywhere. And I've always been fascinated with reincarnation, right? Because that's pretty damn cool. When I think about it kind of, gives me fanny flutters. But I recently started looking at it more closely and more seriously. So, what is reincarnation, really? Okay, this controversial belief is defined in its simplest terms as the rebirth of a soul into another body. Honestly, I kind of have mixed feelings about the idea of my soul being reborn into another body, mostly because this is the body I have now, the body I'm in. I like Ella's body. Like, it's comfortable. It feels like a really great pair of jeans that I've had for years and years. And like, right now, in this moment, they have been broken in perfectly. Like, they're not in jeopardy of, falling apart, but they're thin in all the right places where you want them to be soft and thin. And they're a little big and baggy in some areas, which means when I want to eat a lot of what I love eating, then I have room to do that. Right? And I can dress them up or dress them down. I can throw on a tank top and put on some Keds, roll the bottom up, put on a cute belt and a hat, and boom, I'm good to go. Or I could leave them down, put on some stilettos, a nice button down, and a short blazer, and boom, I'm good to go. Like, Ella's body's like kind of my favorite pair of jeans. So I don't know how I feel about that whole being reborn into another body. I'm like, God, I gotta break in a whole new body if I want to do this thing. Anyway, As much as I don't like the idea of coming, you know, back in and being in another body, I'm kind of holding out hope that this reincarnation thing is real and that it happens for me. That way, I can kind of lose the fear of not finishing everything my soul desires to accomplish in this life, because then, like, I'll know that I can come back. I, my soul, not I, Ella, but at least I know that my soul can come back and continue its work. So, you know me to be a complete and utter nerd. So, I was looking up the word reincarnation. So, you know this word is obviously a mix, right? A combination of roots and prefixes, right? So I wanted to know the etymological history, the etymological, I can't even talk, the etymological history of the word. And it's kind of interesting because the word as a whole word, reincarnation, truly isn't that old. Okay? I mean, reincarnation as a word dates back to like the 1800s. However, the root word incarnate, of course, that goes back to the 1300s, and it's from late Latin, and it means to take flesh, the act of being made flesh. Or a piece of flesh, the embodiment of God. That one kind of made me go, wait, what? Incarnate, the embodiment of God. So, of course, that's the root definition of incarnate that I'm rolling with. So, whenever I'm talking about reincarnation and I'm using the root definition, the embodiment of God, because that's kind of dope to me. And it falls in line with my personal belief. So, anywho, in the 1800s, the prefix re was added on, meaning back again. And by this time, the definition of incarnation was widely accepted as the embodiment of God. Because, this time, basically, I know in America in the 1800s, it was still very much a theocratic culture with, all of the churches and that stronghold in New England with the Puritan faith and all of that. So it was still, in my opinion, an extremely theocratic, not as theocratic as like the 1600s, 1700s and all that jazz, but definitely theocratic in its base, just like we are now, right? America is still a theocratic nation, contrary to what everyone wants to believe. So the widely accepted definition of incarnation is the embodiment of God. So reincarnation is the new embodiment of God. That's giving us the contemporary definition of repeated embodiments of God, the universe, or the soul. Reincarnation, the repeated embodiment of God or the universe or the soul, whatever you want to attribute to being reincarnated, right? So, anyway, that's what reincarnation, just defined simply is. But then I was like, how many people really believe in reincarnation? Like, legit believe in it. And it's not like, man, I surely wish it could happen, but legit believe wholeheartedly that reincarnation is going to happen for them. So roughly about 25% of Americans believe in some form of reincarnation, and about the same amount and of Europeans not associated with religions believing in this philosophy. So roughly a quarter of Americans and Europeans believe that reincarnation is for real, something that is going to happen to them, and there it is. There are major religions that hold a belief in reincarnation. And of course, they're all Asian-based religions, which makes sense, right? Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism, which isn't a religion. I don't know why people always do this. I was on Britannica.com, so when I got this information. But people always say that Buddhism is a religion when it really is not a religion. It is a philosophy, much like Taoism. It isn't a religion. But anyway, there is a kind of, yeah, if you follow the philosophy of Buddhism, then there is, you know, the understanding that reincarnation is a part of that. And Sikhism, which is, you know, a very widely practiced religion in India. Our former governor, Nikki Haley, her family is Sikh, but I believe that she practices Christianity. I'm not sure. I might be lying. If I'm lying, I'm not trying to spread rumors, but I know her family is Sikh, but she appears to be more Western in her presentation. So, yeah. Anyway, all of these Asian religions are in India, and they all hold common doctrine of karma. And karma is like the baddest, most ruthless, honest, boss bitch you're ever going to find. Like, if karma could be incarnate, you'd want her to be your ride or die friend. She's going to keep it real. Always. She is going to call you out on every piece of bullshit you try and pass off. And she is going to make sure you get exactly what you deserve. Like, that's the kind of friend you want in your life. So I'm like low-key crushing on karma, because she makes sense to me, right? Now, you guys know I kind of have an intellectual boner for Carl Gustav Jung. I can't help it. But he talks about this idea of reincarnation, the physiological study of reincarnation Jung did. And he said, you know, this is like a really great quote. This concept of rebirth necessarily implies the continuity of personality. Because remember, he's a social psychologist. That one is able, at least potentially, to remember that one has lived through previous existences, and that these existences were one's own. And so I find it interesting that even science has now, I mean, Carl was obviously ahead of his time. My baby was brilliant, but even science is trying to quantify this concept of reincarnation. I mean, I can't tell you how many nights I've been kind of like dozing on and off and searching YouTube on my phone. And they have all these little kids who are like, oh, I can remember where I grew up in my last life and my last mom's name was. And then they go and people study it and they find that the information is startlingly accurate. So it's really interesting, this idea of reincarnation. So what, Ella? You're trying to tell us that we need to be converted into three religions are a philosophy and do what? Believe in reincarnation? No, not trying to tell you to believe in anything. I never would do that. Never, because who am I, right? But I found this quote on Pinterest, and it was by Joseph Chilton Pierce. To live a creative life, we must lose our fear of being wrong. And I was like, damn, I love this quote. So I added it to my November board on reincarnation in Pinterest. I'll put a link. It's where I'm putting all of my great reincarnation inspiring quotes for the month of November, as reincarnation is my theme. But I had no idea who Joseph Chilton Pierce was. And so I had to go and look up his Wikipedia, and whoa, I now know why I love this quote so much. This dude was amazing. And there are several books that he's written that have now been placed on my must read before I die list. So what, Ella? To answer the so what question, I kind of have to ask another one. What does creative living really mean? Because honestly, that's my whole purpose. I'm not even going to front. I am working hard to figure out how to live the most enchanting, creative life I possibly can right now. And I'm looking all over, trying is a slow way to fail. I am looking all over for strategies, for philosophies, teachings, mentors to get me to this creative lifestyle that I want to live, right? So what does creative living mean? I'm sure you're like, I know what it means. It means that, you know, I'm living an artistic life. I'm painting, I'm sculpting, I'm writing, I'm making music, I'm dancing, I'm creating shit. That's what it means. A creative life means I'm creating stuff. Right? I'm making something new out of something old, or I'm making something new that was never in existence. Like, that's what it is. I asked my 13-year-old daughter, and she said, well, a creative life is a life where you express your imagination. I know she's 13. She scares the hell out of me most days because she's kind of like, you know, she makes me believe in reincarnation, really. And she's right. And everybody who says it's living a life where you are making shit and you're creating stuff, you're right. But who would I be if I didn't challenge you to look deeper into and around the word for hidden meanings, right? I mean, would I be the enchanted beastmaster you know and love? Hell no. I want to get deeper, closer, more intimate with this word creative, because honestly, and I'm like not even playing around, this is my aspiration for life, is to live creative. Not creatively. It's a huge difference. First of all, creatively is an adverb. It will modify how I am doing something, right? I am not a human doing. I am a human being, as we all are. So I don't want to be doing stuff in a creative way. I want to live creative. Noun. Like, I want creative. For me, I want creative to replace living. Right? So I'm going to add a link to my OE dictionary for the etymology of the word creative, because I'm not going to bore you with it. It'll be in the description box, but you really need to take a look at it. It's kind of interesting how the word, like they go all the way back to the beginning of the word and where it comes from. But I went a little further in my research and I realized that the word creative truly is an amalgamation. This is one of my favorite words, amalgamation. It's actually the title of a novella series, a sci-fi erotic novella series that I kind of work on when I have time. But it is an alchemy of word, spirit, and physical manifestation. That's how I look at the word creative. It is an alchemy of word, spirit, and physical manifestation. Stay with me. Jeez. I find I always have to ask you guys to do that. Like when I get into these headier topics, you know, come on, listen with your beast's ears. Okay? Anyway, let's get a little deeper into the philosophy of living creative. Yeah? All right, I'm going to take you guys deep. So deep, it's probably going to hurt. But what's pleasure without pain, right? Okay, too much? Seriously. What is creative? Well, it's a quality of function, imagination, capable. Listen to me. Oh my gosh. Listen, here's what happened. I wrote down all these definitions as I was doing my research, and then I shut the book. Went away, did something, came back, and I was like, I'm just going to open up these notes and I'm going to circle words that jump out at me from all of these definitions. Here are the words that jumped out at me. Quality, function, imagination, capable, productive, active, producing, intention, working, available, resourceful, want, excuse me, on hand, temple, and soul. I randomly selected these words. And when I got to soul, it was, and this is in order. This is how they showed up. And so I was like fleshing out my guide for this episode, and I was counting them, and I was like 14 words. Wait, 14. I have no idea why this number struck me as important. I'm so serious. Like, I have no idea why this number struck me as important. So I did what any good nerd would do, right? When something goes ding, 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 I looked it up. Beast, listen to me. And I'm not lying. I just about fell from my chair in my living room. The universe is so flipping awesome. Like, she led me down a beautiful rabbit hole, call me Alice, and made me look into the looking glass. I had no intentions of talking about the number 14 with you guys today. I promise. I was not talking about any numbers at all. No, I'm not even a numerologist. I haven't even looked at numerology yet as a way to get to this creative life. So I don't believe in coincidence. So I think this information is meant to be shared, you know, meant to be heard. I said I would take you so deep it'll hurt. You can take it. I'm confident. If not in you, then I'm confident in the beast in you. Deal? Let's talk about the number 14, okay? For me, the number 14 became sacred the moment I gave birth to my first daughter. That was like 19 years ago. At the age of four, each of my girls get a true legit tea party. I bought a whole children's English tea set for them. Like, I spent way too much money on it. And they each had their little tea party and little dresses. And we do a hatting ceremony where they get to wear their hat and their, you know, an invocation is done over them because it is a rite of passage, acknowledging that they are moving from preschool into grade school, into, you know, a new stage, right? And then 10 years later, at the age of 14, they each have a formal tea with friends of their choosing at the cutest little tea house in a small town. It's probably about 40 minutes away from where we live. And this tea is also a rite of passage. You know, basically acknowledging that there is another change, another phase of life, that they are leaving the kind of childish phase and moving into the microcosm of society that is known as high school. And that's huge. But when I researched the significance of this lowly number 14 for this episode, my mind was completely blown away. I mean, like, completely blown away by what I found and how serendipitous the information was to the topic at hand: reincarnation and living the creative life. Okay, did you know that 14 is the number of days the moon is waxing before we get to see the full moon? Is considered bad luck in China and is pronounced 1-4 and sounds like want to die? Did you know that 14 is the card of temperance and self-control in the tarot deck? 14 is the day in February designated to celebrate romantic love. However, it was created to replace the Roman pagan festival of Lupercalia, a bloody, violent, and sexually charged celebration awash with animal sacrifice, random matchmaking, and coupling. I got that from the History Channel. I'll leave a link. Did you know that 14 is the number of pieces Set, the Egyptian god Set, cut his Egyptian god brother Osiris into after killing him, ensuring that once all 14 pieces came back together, Osiris became god of the underworld, and that the number would forever be associated with death and resurrection? The number 14 is a number of power, of transformation. And by some miracle, I happened upon it simply because I'm a word nerd girl. Is that not crazy? Like, really, when it happened, I was like, holy jacoli mushroom. I couldn't believe it. All right, now that your mind's blown and you're sitting here trying to figure out how the hell do we get to 14 and why does it make sense? Don't worry about it. Back to the show, already in progress. Living creative. Can I make these words into a statement without adding or changing anything to or about them? I used to do this in class. I'd give my kids a list of words and I'd say, write a story, but you can't add any words. You can't change anything. You know, write a poem. It's a found poem. Can I turn this into a found statement without adding anything and have it make some type of sense? So I took those words, those 14 humble, transformative, powerful words, and I rearranged them. And I wrote them again, and this is the order that I rewrote them in. I haven't added anything. I couldn't take anything away, couldn't change the form, anything. Productive imagination, capable, working, available temple on hand, active producing, soul quality intention, function, resourceful. What does creative really mean? I made it a sentence. I could change the tense, add suffix or a prefix, put in words, fillers. And this is what I came up with. The words stay in the exact same order. Creative is having a productive imagination, capable of working with all available temples on hand, while actively producing the soul's quality intention to function as resourcefully as possible. This is what I'm searching for. I couldn't define it before. I knew I was searching, right? And I knew it was something to do with creativity or creating or creative living, but I could not define what creative means for me. I couldn't define what I was searching for. 14 words. Creative is having a productive imagination, capable of working with all available temples on hand, while actively producing the soul's quality intention to function as resourcefully as possible. And thank you, Lilith. Because there are some key terms, some key turns of phrases in this newly acquired definition of creative. Working with all available temples on hand. Temples. Temples house things. My body is a temple. A productive imagination capable of working with all available temples on hand while actively producing the soul's quality intention to function as resourcefully as possible. Somewhere in there is the definition of reincarnation. Holy shit. That just came to me. Oh my God, that just hit me like an anvil. If this were a Looney Tunes cartoon, I would be sprawled out in the middle of the road while Roadrunner zips past me with all those little weird signs floating above my head. Creative. The re-embodiment of my soul. Over and over again. Actively producing its intentions to function as resourcefully as possible. My gosh. Oh my gosh, that's insane. Okay. So I said I'm looking to creative living, right? Living means to be alive, have life, continue in life, to experience. A fire living means to burn, to remain, to continue. I don't know how I feel about these definitions of living, honestly, because they all seem way generic. They don't really say what I want them to say about the life I want to live, which leads me to the question, what does creative living look like? Right? What the hell does creative living look like? If creative means I have a productive imagination that can use any temple, anytime, and will actively, continuously produce what my soul's intention is, and will function resourcefully. If that is what creative looks like, then to be alive is to be creative, right? Gosh, to be alive, to live, is to be creative. It is to be about my soul's business, my soul's intention. I don't know, that's like the $1 million question, right? No, that's like the kajillion dollar question. If I could answer it, gosh, I would be like ascended into the universe and just, you know, become one of the big stars. I don't know, but I know what it doesn't look like. Our current life situation, most of us aren't living. Because most of us aren't about our soul's intention. Most of us have no clue what our soul's intention is. Most of us are going through the motions. We wake up, we do a morning routine, we go into someone's job, or we go on our own job, or we don't go to work, we sit at home. I don't know. Most of us are going through the motions of moving this temple from one position to another position to another position. And along the way, we pick up stuff, we pick up people, we pick up ideas, we pick up thoughts, we put them down, we place them, we lose them, and then we pick some more stuff up, but we aren't about our soul's intentions. But what does it really look like? It looks like, well, that's the hard part of this entire thing, really. Creative living is different for everyone, as it needs to be, but there has to be some like commonality in this move towards cultivating a more enchanted and creative life, right? I mean, there has to be like, oh, this is what creative is. This is what you can, you know, figure out. This is how you could figure out your soul's intentions. I don't know, strategies. Okay. And this is where the whole philosophy of reincarnation comes in. There are several kind of, you know, rules of reincarnation, right? They're like rules that go along with becoming reincarnated. So the first thing I want to discuss is why the soul is reincarnated. There are only three reasons the soul will reincarnate. Only three. And they are pretty simple. One, there are lessons that it still needs to learn, so it comes back so it can learn it. Are there lessons that it needs to learn that, you know, they failed that lesson, so they have to repeat the grade, right? Two, they still got some bad karmic shit they need to make up for. They still have karmic debt, so they need to fix it. Three, they've not yet recognized that they're divine, that they are holy, that they are sacred. They don't recognize their own divinity. So I looked at those three reasons for why my soul could be reincarnated. And from those three reasons, I decided I like reincarnation. I like believing that my soul has multiple times to get it right, right? So I'm going to use the philosophy of reincarnation, which is heavily based on karma, to create some strategies for living creative. There are 10. I'm going to give you guys 3 in this episode. And I'll tell you how you can get the remaining 7 strategies at the end of this episode. Okay? So, strategy 1. Learn as much as possible. One of the main reasons, as I stated, the soul is reincarnated is because it still has lessons to learn. Gives new meaning to the idea of being a lifelong learner, huh? I think too often we feel like the only way to learn any lessons are those that we get in these institutions, you know, schools, colleges, universities, you know, trade schools, when people are teaching us stuff. We believe lessons are taught. But lessons aren't taught to us. Lessons are learned. We look for books and webinars and workshops. And while those are great and amazing places to start learning, right? Great places to start the foundation of learning, to get information, to get you on a track to learning, true learning, learning the soul requires, can only take place by experiencing, living, exploring, being exposed and exposing, taking every opportunity to learn, understanding that lessons of life present themselves in a myriad of ways. Sometimes the best lessons come from failure, from heartache, from disappointment. Sometimes the best failure comes, excuse me, the best failure. That's an oxymoron. I'm sure it means something really deep. The best failure. Who knows? Anyway, maybe that could be a book title. I'll jot that down. The best failure. Oh my gosh, it so sounds like a good rom-com. Hold on to that, Ella. Anywho, sometimes the best lessons learned are the lessons we learn in silence. We rarely take the opportunity to hear what isn't being said, to hear what goes in between all the words. I think it was Miles Davis who said, and I'm paraphrasing horribly because I am not a music aficionado, but I believe it was Miles Davis who said, people are so busy listening to all the notes that I play and the slurs and the and all of the magic of the notes that they fail to hear the most important part of the music, the silence between the notes. Learn as much as possible. Learn to listen to the silence, because that's where lessons are. That's where the lessons for the soul reside. My second strategy, raise karmic vibration. Karma is simple, cause and effect. Whatever you do It affects everyone and you too. It creates a system of imbalance. And the universe is all about balance. You can't have one without the other. So if you're putting a lot of bad shit out into the universe, you're going to have to put a lot of good shit out there to balance it. Right? So that's one of the reasons the soul will come back, is because it has a karmic debt. It's put a lot of bad shit out there. It has a debt to pay to karma. And what is she? Like the baddest boss bitch ever. She's not going to let you get away with anything. You have to pay your debt. So, do unto others as you'll have them do unto you, unless you treat yourself really shitty, which most people who treat people, other people shitty, they usually treat themselves worse. So maybe that's not such a good adage. Maybe we shouldn't have that as something we look to do. You will reap whatever you sow, right? Be good to the earth. The earth will be good to you. Thank you, Pearl S. Buck and the good earth. In short, do what you can to raise the vibration of positivity. Be kind. Practice empathy. Be open-minded. Be attentive. Be sincere. Start with self. Did you listen to that silence? Be kind to yourself. Be empathetic towards you. Have an open mind when it comes to your thoughts, your desires, your wishes. Be attentive. Pay attention to yourself. Pay attention when your body tells you something. Pay attention when your beast is nudging you towards or away from. Pay attention to yourself. Give yourself attention. Be sincere with you. Be honest with yourself. Be honest and sincere with your wants, with your likes and dislikes. Be these things with yourself. Be kind to you. Start with you. Because here's what I am, you know, 1,000,000% sure of. You can't treat other people shitty when you feel so amazing about the way you treat yourself. When you have a sense of self-love, self-awareness, self-esteem, you hold yourself in high regard, you are kind to you. When you mess up, you forgive yourself easily. You are empathetic towards your plight because you get shit happens, right? You're open-minded when you want to try something new and you want to take a risk. You're like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it, right? You pay attention to yourself. You know what's happening within your body, within your mind, within your emotional body, within your spiritual body. You are aware. You are honest to a fault with yourself. And you know when you mess up. And you hold yourself accountable. On the flip side, you know when you did something quite amazing. And you give yourself the kudos and the respect you deserve. You are raising karmic vibration. And when you treat yourself amazingly, yes, you heard that, right? I don't have to say it, right? Strategy one, listen to the silence, learn the lessons of the silence, right? Strategy two, raise your karmic vibration, start with you. It's like a ripple in the pond, right? And the third reason that the soul is reincarnated is because it can't recognize its own divine nature. It doesn't understand that it is divine. It comes from divinity, therefore it is divine. It is not some nasty, filthy, dirty, evil thing. Right? I get it. We're told from before birth how mankind is born into sin. Evil, evil Eve, and that damn snake took Adam down and they got kicked out of the garden. Now women get menstrual cramps and it hurts to have babies. Can't believe she did that to us. We are damned. I call bullshit. There. We don't need to be saved. Saved from what? Ourselves? No, the soul needs to be able to recognize its own divinity. Right? Because in doing so, right, the moment you allow the soul to see itself as it truly is, you give yourself permission to act accordingly. When you tell the soul, hey, Lilith, come on, don't you remember? You're infinite. You have no beginning. You have no end. She starts to wake up. She starts to remember, I am infinite. There's no end to me. I am divine. And you know what happens once your soul begins to recognize her divinity? Hell yeah. She begins to imbue your physical persona with divine power. To do what? To be what? We don't do. To be what? Who said that? You get a prize. You get a prize. The moment the soul recognizes its divinity, it realizes that this physical persona is the vehicle through which its intentions can be carried out. It realizes that it is simply using all temples on hand and to actively produce its intentions. What? What'd you say? Yep. That's creative. Those are the first three strategies that I'm employing from the philosophy of reincarnation to live an enchanted and creative life. These are the first three that I've come up with based on this philosophy. I'm going to learn to listen to the lessons in the silence because that's where the soul's lessons reside. I am definitely going to continue to raise my karmic vibration and continue to treat myself well and spread that out like a ripple. And I will always look myself in the mirror, look deep down and see Lilith's beautiful golden eyes. And I will whisper and yell and scream and shout, Namaste, I bow to the divine within you. Every morning, every night, every time I go and pee, Every time I wash my hands, every time I see a mirror, I either whisper or I say it in my head or I say it out loud, even in public restrooms, I bow to the divine in you, namaste. Sometimes I just, you know, do it just because. My reflection catches on the screen of my laptop, namaste. I bow to the divine within because I am, my soul is divine. And the more I remind her, the more I respect her divinity, the more she imbues me with her divine power. And the more I am able to be creative, to live creative. Hot diggity dog. That's kind of cool. Anyhow. That truly is the end of the show. I felt like it went really fast. If you are interested in learning more, getting the additional 7 strategies of living an enchanted and creative life using the philosophy of reincarnation, you have several ways in which you can do that. You can become an enchanted beast tea buddy and receive an invitation to attend a free webinar on the 10 strategies. And I'll leave a link in the description box if you would like to be a tea buddy of mine, buy me a cup of tea with a monthly sponsorship. Or you can head on over to my Patreon and I'll put a link in the description and join at the $5 level of patronage a month and you will receive a free invitation to my webinar. So, thank you so much for joining me. If you haven't already, I would love to have you follow me on my other social media platforms, as well as sign up for my quarterly newsletter. Also, if you love romance, be sure to check out Ames Frisee, available on Amazon and Kindle Unlimited. You want to support all of my creative endeavors and wear cute merch, you can check out my online merch shop. There really is something for everyone, I promise. I think that's it. I'm so happy I got to do this. Like, seriously stoked about having the chance to come back and frolic in the forest with you guys. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope that you continue to be brave, to be beautiful, and to stay enchanted. This is Ella, signing off. Bye, guys.
This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining. And remember to stay enchanted.